I read this week that one night a guy named Tim was walking home all alone when all of a sudden a thief attacked him. The thief jumped on him and they began to wrestle. They rolled on the ground and Tim put up a tremendous fight, but the thief managed to get the better of him and pinned him to the ground. As he was pinned to the ground, the thief went through all of his pockets and all he found was a quarter, 25 cents. The thief was so disappointed, he said to Tim, he said, "Why in the world did you bother to fight me so hard for a measly 25 cents? And Tim said, "Oh, that's all you wanted? I thought you were after the $500 in my chute." Now, this week I learned something really important. I learned that there are not many good jokes about wrestling. That was the best one I could find right there. But I wanted something to get us thinking about wrestling, for in our text for today, Jacob and God are wrestling with each other. Doesn't that seem strange? All night long, Jacob and God are wrestling. Have you ever watched wrestling on TV? Or should I say wrestling? Have you ever watched wrestling on TV? Many, many years ago, I used to watch wrestling. I vividly remember watching the guy who was my favorite. I called him Wrestler Number Two. He was Mr. Wrestling Number Two. Never really saw much of Mr. Wrestling Number One. I don't know what the deal with that was, but Mr. Wrestling Number Two was my favorite. I used to watch him all the time, and I would really get into it. I remember lots of times getting really aggravated and upset about all the stuff that was happening and all the things that were unfair that seemed to me. And then one day someone told me it's all scripted. It's all fake. Well, I stopped watching that kind of wrestling, but every 4 years or so when the Olympics come around, I watch the Greco-Roman wrestling, and I like to watch that. I know we have that in our high schools, and many, many of our young people, and maybe many of our older adults have participated in that. And maybe if you think about that kind of wrestling, maybe that's the image that comes to mind when we think about our text for today. In this text, there's a wrestling match, and it's between Jacob and God. Now, from what we know, Jacob was always a wrestler. In fact, Jacob began wrestling even before he was born. Earlier in the book of Genesis, we are told that Jacob and his twin brother Esau were wrestling while they were in their mother's womb. Jacob was a wrestler before he was even born. And last week, in the text that we read about Jacob, though there was no physical struggle, there was this mental tug of war, emotional tug of war between Jacob and Esau about who would get the father's blessing. Well, here in our text for this morning, Jacob continues to struggle with his brother Esau. Though Jacob has been gone away from home for quite some time now, he is preparing to meet his brother, whom he has not seen since he deceived him and stole his rightful blessing. The passage we read last week. And now, the night before he is to meet his brother, Jacob wrestles with God. Have you ever wrestled with God? Jacob's wrestling match was some kind of physical event. Jacob ended up being hurt. His hip was injured, and it was an injury that he would take with him for the rest of his life. But there are a lot of different ways to wrestle with God. Maybe like Jacob, we often wrestle with God during the night, when we're trying to sleep, when we toss and turn in the bed, as we get up and pace the floor, we wrestle with God. And during these wrestling matches with God, maybe we struggle with some big and critical questions in our lives. Why is this happening, God? What is the purpose of this event or this situation that's going on in my life right now? God, you created me. You gave me life. Show me how to live. Why sometimes, God, does it feel like you hate me? What do you want me to do? I feel caught. I feel trapped. Which way should I go? How do I handle this situation in my life? God, why does it seem that others always get blessings and I constantly seem to live in chaos and misfortune? God, why does my life have to be such a struggle? Why can't life just be easy for a while? We all probably know what it's like to wrestle with God, whether it's the middle of the night or whether it's in the day and you're driving to work or doing whatever. We find ourselves wrestling with God. Our text for this morning has Jacob wrestling with God in the middle of the night. It is the night before he is prepared to meet his brother Esau, but he spends all night the night before by himself. And then we're told in verse 24 that a man comes to him. Now, verse 24 says it's a man, but verse 28 and verse 30 very clearly tell us that this wrestler is God. Now, Jacob doesn't know God's name, but he understood he was wrestling with the Almighty. In the middle of the night, a telling blow is delivered to Jacob and cripples him for the rest of his life. But he continues to wrestle. Jacob and God continue to wrestle, and after round after round after round, Jacob and God end up in a draw. It's a tie. What kind of person can go to the mat with God? Who, after wrestling with God for quite some time, can end in a draw? Who can wrestle with God and hold his own in such a wrestling match? Well, according to Scripture, Jacob and God's wrestling match ended in a draw. But the story continues, and even when they end in a draw, Jacob won't stop. He holds on to God, as the Scripture says, for dear life. Jacob would not let God go until he got a blessing. This Jacob, he would do anything for a blessing, wouldn't he? Last week, he was with his brother Esau, and he cheated his brother out of his own rightful blessing. And now this week, he wrestles with God, and he literally holds on to God, refusing to let go until he gets a blessing. What is it with this guy and his desire for a blessing? It dominates his life. Well, Jacob actually gets his blessing here. This stranger, God, blesses him. And here's what the blessing says. You have been called Jacob, trickster, maneuverer, manipulator. That's what Jacob's name literally meant. But now I'm going to bless you with a new name. And your new name will be Israel. What a name. The name Israel literally means God preserves and protects. What a great blessing. Jacob, from this wrestling match, has made a transition and change in his life. He has gone from being Jacob, trickster, manipulator, maneuverer, to Israel, God protects and preserves. This new name signifies the beginning of a new life for Jacob. It is yet another major life transition for him. And the name Israel also signifies something totally new for his community, his family, the nation that his family will become. Jacob was bonded with God in an intimate wrestling encounter. He came to a draw with God, and Jacob then gained a blessing, which was a new beginning for another transition and change in his life for him and his family. Well, it was then that Jacob took the initiative to ask for the name of the stranger, but God would not give him his name. Though Jacob did not get everything he wanted, he did receive yet another blessing. Jacob prevails in this wrestling match. He didn't get the better of God, but Jacob simply received what God was ready to give him, and he was left with an injury that would remain with him as a difficulty for the rest of his life. That night, that wrestling match left Jacob physically affected. He risked death for a blessing. And Jacob survived seeing the face of God, though he carried that injury with him for the rest of his life. You see, when I think about this episode, it seems like seeing faces becomes the dominant theme. It's the central part of this text. That night, Jacob came face to face with God. He wrestled with God. He faced God. And then the very next day, Jacob saw the face of his estranged brother, Esau. Esau moved toward Jacob with 400 men, while Jacob moves toward Esau only with his family, only with the women and the children of his family. Jacob's favorites, Rachel and Joseph, were among the last of his entourage. He strategically places them at the back so that they will be safe. And as he approaches his brother, Jacob bows 7 times along the way, and the women and the children follow him behind. Jacob is coming to meet his brother. How does Esau respond? Astonishingly, we are told in verse 4, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. He fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Seeing faces becomes the theme of this text. Just listen to some of the verses here. In chapter 32, verse 20, right before we started reading this morning, we read, Jacob says, I may appease him, Esau, with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterwards I shall see his face. Perhaps then he will accept me. Chapter 32, verse 30. Jacob says, it is because I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Chapter 33, verse 10, Jacob says, this time to Esau, for truly to see your face is like seeing the face of God. It is this idea, this concept of seeing the face of God and seeing the face of his brother that were so significant for him. In fact, this image of seeing faces for Jacob is also continued over in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, that beloved passage about love, Paul writes saying, for now we see as in a mirror dimly, but then one day we will see face to face. Now I see only in part, but then one day I will know fully, even as I am fully known. All other forms of knowing become archaic and obsolete when we finally see face to face, according to Scripture. Now last week when we finished the sermon, Jacob was leaving home and going on his journey. Since that time from last week, more than 20 years has elapsed since he left home with a blessing he didn't deserve to now when he stands face to face in front of the brother whom he cheated. For these 2 decades, Jacob had lived with his uncle Laban in Mesopotamia. And during this time, Jacob has married twice and he has a large family now, many children. So it is during these 20 years that Jacob receives the blessing from God that Isaac, his father, had given to him. That blessing that his father spoke has grown and multiplied and flourished in his life. Jacob has prospered during these quiet 20 years, and his family also greatly prospered and expanded. Laban, Jacob's uncle, even admitted to Jacob at one point. He said, "The Lord has blessed me because of you, Jacob." Jacob achieved the outward evidence of the blessed life. He had wives, he had children, he had animals, he had land, he had riches. But he was not at peace. At this midpoint in his life, materially he has everything he could possibly want, and yet he does not have peace. He needs to be reconciled with his brother. You see, that's the point of this wrestling match. That's what this wrestling match was all about. Jacob was indeed a blessed person, but all was not right within him. You see, it doesn't matter how blessed we are. if we hold on to guilt and shame for something we've done to someone in our past. It doesn't matter how blessed we are, how good life is, if we are riddled with guilt and shame because we know all is not right. Jacob knows he needs to reconcile with his brother, but he is afraid. God, how am I to reconcile with my brother Esau after all these years and what I did to him? Well, suddenly the opportunity for reconciliation arose. That's often how it is in our lives. God blesses us with these situations where we are given opportunities for transformation and change to happen. They just simply take place as blessings from God. A promotion at work, a marriage, retirement, death of a loved one, childbirth, serious illness, loss of strength or mobility, an unwanted pregnancy, financial loss, the illness of a spouse, infidelity, divorce, a severed relationship with a child. On and on and on we could go. The list is endless. These are times of transition and change, but they are opportunities God gives to us that we might see how God wants us to experience his life and his power and relationship in our lives. These transition moments help us to reflect and to grow. We struggle, we wrestle during these times. Maybe we too need reconciliation. Maybe we too need forgiveness. Maybe we too need to restore a relationship in our life. This transition moment, these transition moments of change in life often help us clarify what is most important. The possibilities of discovering something new about ourselves in these moments of change are endless. But these opportunities often involve both joy and grief. We are given so many times of transition and change. They give us opportunities to grow, chances to heal, experiences of God's rich and abundant blessings as we seek forgiveness and restoration. Thinking of these experiences, we can understand now how Jacob, at the midpoint of his life, needs something new and different. We understand how this midlife crisis for Jacob, so to speak, gives him an opportunity to experience God in a fresh new way. For he met God and struggled and wrestled with God face to face one night. And the very next day, he meets his brother face to face and is reconciled with one whom he hurt so badly. Face to face. Often we describe our own transitions in life as wrestling with a decision, wrestling with a problem, wrestling with a situation. And like Jacob, we can choose to nurture and to celebrate these life moments, or we can take another path. We can choose to deny and to ignore these blessings and these opportunities that God gives to each one of us. Here's what we know. Change is difficult. Transitions are unsettling, but there are times in life when we are given opportunities to repair the past, to seek reconciliation, to ask for forgiveness. This morning, as we think about Jacob and his wrestling with God, we are left with these questions. What is God saying to you during this time of transition and change in your life? What does God want from you as you wrestle with life? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we confess to you that life is often very difficult. There are times when we struggle through the changes and transitions of life. There are times when life seems dark and uncertain. There are times when we don't know which way to go. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you. Help us to see life transitions as opportunities to experience your presence, your leadership, and your guidance in new and fresh and wonderful ways. For Lord, we love you and we need your presence in our life, especially as we go through changes and transitions. So lead us and guide us and bless us, Lord, as your people, as we seek to be close to you face to face. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.